Why was coffee so important, and what was your orientation to coffee on the ship?
Okay, well, coffee was important. Coffee is important to me in the morning, first off. I live in Florida. I've gotten used to coffee, you know, Cuban style coffee. And so when I, you know, when I think coffee, I don't think Maxwell House. It's got to be pretty good. It's got to be pretty good, and it's got to be pretty strong. And so an espresso or something like that to get the day going is not uncommon. Not for me, not here. And I learned from the information they provided that they had a coffee machine, they had an espresso machine on the ship, and that it was available for use, that, you know, someone would show you how to do it. And I said, okay, this is worth doing. And so I ordered, and I'm trying to figure out how much coffee am I actually going to go through, because it's not like you actually measure how much coffee you consume over a period of time, right? You buy it when you need it and you don't think about it otherwise.
And you're trying to advance plan for 2 months,
yeah,
and working 12 hours a day, yeah, for 60 consecutive days, which, yep, might mean maybe an increase in your coffee intake.
Might. And those are all thoughts, right? You know, how do I figure out what to bring? And as it turned out, what ended up determining it is space, right? I mean, there was just, okay, I got to have clothes. I got to have, and weather-wise, it was summertime. So, you know, it was going to be warm weather. So the most part, but you needed some rain gear maybe, because not so much thinking about the ship, obviously, but thinking about when you get off. And so it all balanced out as I ended up bringing about 2 pounds of espresso beans that, you know, which I usually order coffee from Puerto Rico because it's the cheapest good coffee you can get in Florida. And and so I ordered that, and I just, the protocol is pretty straightforward, right? People are very casual. Basically, you can just park the beans up there on the ridge deck, up in the closet, put your name on it, and use them, and you can either make them available for others to use as you're using them, or you can keep them to yourself. It's just, you know, it's entirely up to you. And then there are spare beans in case you, as it turns out, and I didn't know this coming on the ship, there are spare beans that are leftovers from other people who don't bring them home, right? And so those are free for anyone to use. And as it turned out, just dumb luck and happenstance, 2 pounds of coffee was about right.
Wow, so, you mapped that out pretty,
yeah,
well.
I mean, it was just about right. There's a learning curve because they have their own coffee grinder, right, which has its particulars for using. And then the machine itself is a professional machine. And so I basically got one of the techs to show me how to do it. And
I was going to say, I remember going through orientation, yeah, on how to use the, yeah, the schmizzle and the shill, yeah, but, yeah, there was also orientation for how to make coffee.
Yeah. And I was, yeah. And I, you know, I wasn't really all that interested. Yeah. You could make it, you could froth milk and do the whole nine yards. I wasn't interested in that. Just a good stout espresso in the morning is all I need. And so that was easy, you know, and just, you know, a lot of it up there, like anything else on the ship where you're sharing facilities, it's really, you know, it's really sort of being tidy. It's being, you know, cleaning up after yourself and sort of making sure that things are in good shape and stay in good shape. And so, and that's the techs push that on just about everything, right? And so you learn, you get into that culture pretty quickly of just sort of cooperating on the everyday, right?
And was there a social culture that developed around coffee? Did you have a coffee break during your 12-hour shift where people would come together and, yeah, yeah, share?
They often enough, coffee break and cookie break, at least on my shift, would coalesce. And so you'd sort of look at the time, and those of us who wanted another little jolt or something would run upstairs, and then we'd walk down to the main, we'd walk down to the, you know, walk down to the galley for cookies and have our little cup of something with a cookie, and that would get us going for the last couple hours, you know. So, and it was always, like I said, with the coffee thing, it was always the same people. there are some people who just have to have their coffee. I happen to be one of them. And so you run into the same group every time, not just scientists. I mean, there were technicians who were the same way. They needed their coffee to start the day. And you know, so I'd get up there, and depending on exactly the time I'd get up there, I'd see people kind of line up, right? And we'd all just very patiently go through, do our thing. And you have a little bit of conversation about, particularly as the cruise gets on, you start seeing each other more frequently. And you have a little coffee clatch kind of thing going on up there. Nothing that takes a lot of time because you all got stuff to do. As you know, it gets busier and busier and busier as you go through the expedition. So, but there are certain things that are non-negotiable, and the stop at the coffee machine was one of them.